Let's just pray. Gracious Lord, we just give you thanks for your word. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit come upon us and open up your word afresh and anew for us. May it be a light to our path. May it challenge us. May it guide us. May it give us life. Lord, we just pray this in the power of your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, we are in our fifth week in looking at our preaching series, The Seven I Am Statements of Jesus Found in John's Gospel. Now, I love John's Gospel, and we often don't delve into it as much as we should in the church. But what I love about it is in these seven I Am statements throughout John's Gospel, it gives us an understanding of the nature and character of who Jesus is from his own words. We've had over the weeks, we've had Jesus declare that he is the bread of life, and we've explored that. He's been the light, declared that he is the light of the world, and over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at them declaring that he is the gate, the way that we come into heaven and through the safety, and that he is the good shepherd. Today, we're going to delve into this statement, and it's probably one of the most powerful of all statements that Jesus makes about himself. That he is, I am the resurrection. That's that. I am the resurrection and the life. And this statement's found in that John 11, verses 25 and 26. And we're just looking at that. And as Clifford said, that this comes in this whole section where we have the death of Lazarus. And Jesus is talking with Mary and Martha, and specifically Martha at this point, where he declares that he is the resurrection and the life. And then he says, in verses 25 and 26, he goes, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks this question, do you believe this? This is probably the most important question for us to actually grapple with ourselves, for us. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Let me ask you that. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Fantastic. We've already got people going, amen, yes, good. We are alive. I love it. Jesus here in this passage, he's demonstrating his power over death by raising Lazarus from the dead. However, let me say this, Lazarus was not the first person to be raised from the dead. I'm going to give you a little bit of biblical delving into that. Elijah, because I'm going to talk about Elijah in a moment, but Elijah raised the son of a widow from the dead. Elijah raised the son of a Sunite woman from the dead. Elijah's dead bones raised a body from the dead. Jesus raised two others, the son of the widow of Nain and the daughter of Jairus. Peter, after Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, and Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. So we've got all of these resurrection coming up from the dead. But they're different. They're different to Jesus' resurrection. All of those are temporary. They're all temporary. They were raised back to life, but yet they died. Whereas Jesus' resurrection is not temporary. It is everlasting. Jesus' resurrection is eternal. And the resurrection of Jesus is central, is crucial, is the foundation of the gospel message. In fact, if we have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll actually see here that Paul, the Apostle Paul, says in his that it is of the first importance, for what I receive I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Notice that he died for our sins, and then he was buried, he was then raised on the third day according to Scripture, the resurrection. That's of first importance, so important. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, praise be to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is central and crucial to who we are as Christians and our belief. And this is why when we look at Christmas, at the birth of Jesus, we look to Easter. And why do we look to Easter? Because it's that crucial found moment of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we look into this, I'm going to delve into a couple of key points that I want us to explore and understand. And I'm going to throw Bible references at you. If you want to follow along with me in your own Bible, you can. I'm going to look at what it actually means that Jesus is the resurrection and what that actually has for us, what that means for us ourselves. So when Jesus says to Martha there, in the midst of the pain and suffering that is going on at the loss of her brother, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? Why is that so important for us? So the first point is this. When Jesus talks about he is the resurrection and the life, he's talking about death losing its sting. There's a certainty that in death there is a sting, not only to those who die, but to all those who have loved them and are sensing the loss. And now, as I look out across the room today, I can see that many people have lost loved ones, have experienced their own loss of family, of friends, and you know that death has a sting. It has pain. But from our worldly perspective, when we think about death, we think that it's just an end. There's nothing there. But we know that there's more there. It's not the final end. We know that when somebody dies, it leaves a hole in our life. And we know over time that hole doesn't go away, but it doesn't become quite so painful, but it's still there. Mary and Martha had lost their brother and they were feeling that sting of death at that point in time. It wasn't after a long period of time, it was fresh. And you know at that freshness of losing somebody very close to you, that it is painful. And this is where we find in this passage, when Mary reaches the place where Jesus was and saw him and fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. There's the pain in that statement. There's the pain, the sting of death. If you had only been here, Lord, then Lazarus would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who'd been come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and his spirit was troubled and he wept. Mary and Martha was feeling that sting of death. But to Martha, Jesus actually provided comfort by declaring that awesome understanding of who he is, that he is the resurrection. He is the life. He gives that. He's the one that brings that. And we have the option of taking that for all of ourselves. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that what he's done is enough to conquer death and bring life? Do you believe? Not only did he ask Martha about that, but then he went on and demonstrated his power over death by bringing Lazarus out of the tomb and raising him back to life. Temporary as it was, Lazarus went on to later die later, but ultimately, he's showing that the power of God is working there and that we will have an eternal solution to our earthly mortal problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, where, O death, is your victory, where, O death, is your sting. Notice that? The sting of death is the sin and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he has given us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So first of all, the resurrection, that Jesus is talking about, I am the resurrection, leads to losing that sting in death. But it also does something else. It leads to imperishable bodies. So it takes away the sting, but it leads to imperishable bodies as well. The death is cruel to our bodies. I don't want to go into any of the gruesome details of seeing a body decay, but that's what happens. Our body no longer is alive and thriving, and it falls apart. I love in this passage, and you know, the NIV, the New Living Translation, all kind of make it kind of nice when Jesus says, "Oh, roll away the stone from the tomb." And let me be honest, Lazarus had been in that tomb for 4 days there, no refrigeration, so just in warm weather in that tomb, and they say it might smell, you know. And I love the King James Version goes, he would stinketh. And I love the way that, you know, he would stinketh. It kind of just puts it right out there. It would stink. The death and decay would stink. You know, your body would be perishing. But then Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Lazarus' body was perishable, yours and my body is perishable, but Jesus declared that he is the resurrection and can change everything. Paul wrote similarly in 1 Corinthians 15, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Hear that? Sown is perishable, our earthly life, we live it, our bodies are perishable. But through the power of Jesus, through his resurrection, in his life, and taking the unborn, when we die, we have an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian church about what Jesus is, that he gives us so much more, the eternal life. It is sown in as a natural body and is raised in a spiritual body. Because of the resurrection, believers who die will be raised in glory. I don't know about you. Have you ever been to a funeral of a Christian believer? And have you noticed the difference that happens there when people have the hope of eternal life, that they have the assurance that their loved one that they have said goodbye to has life, spiritual life with God? There's a sense of, it is a parting, there is grief, there is pain, but there is life. And I love it when you know, I hate to say this, I love it when I do a funeral of somebody who's a believer. Because you go, they are with their Lord and Maker. It saddens me when I do a funeral of somebody who hasn't put their trust in God, but I believe in a God that's infinitely gracious. 1 Corinthians 15 also goes on in verses 51 to 54, and it says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Notice hearing that word, that we will be changed from this perishable moment, but we will be clothed and changed into this imperishable person. That's what it means that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, takes away the sting of death and gives us imperishable bodies. The third thing I want us to kind of explore with this, what it means that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, is that not only it takes away the sting of death, gives us imperishable body, but leads to freedom from sorrow. You ever notice that at funerals, tears flow? Doesn't matter who you are. If you've attended a funeral, you will have seen people cry. Matter of fact, if you have attended a funeral yourself and you've been close to the person, you probably have cried yourself. Let me tell you, sometimes when you're leading a funeral, it's incredibly difficult to not cry in moments when you're leading it, because you feel the pain, you feel the suffering, you feel the hurt, you feel the sorrow of people. And, there was a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and there are moments when I have to go, take a breath, pause, so that you can help others in this moment where there is so much sorrow and so much hurt and so much loss. The fact that we've lost a loved one, that grief is in its process, that tears are flowing, is something that we can't avoid. It's part of that death. It's healthy for us to cry. It's inevitable that this is going to be part of who we are and that loss that we feel. One of the most profound and amazing verses is the shortest verse in all of the Bible, in John 11, verse 35, when Jesus is confronted with Mary and Martha, who are crying, with all of the relatives who are crying. And Jesus was very close to Lazarus, and he felt the loss himself as well. And it says, and Jesus wept. He felt the sorrow. He felt the pain in this moment. And when he declares that he is the resurrection and the life, he's saying that we will have freedom from sorrow because they've been released. They're more than what they were. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says this: brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We are to grieve, but to find comfort when we know our loved ones know the Lord. The hope that comes from, that anchors our souls. You know, or from Psalm 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Notice this important part about that grief and the mourning that we have is that there will be new hope from that. There will be new hope from that death that is there. Grief is a natural part of what happens when we lose somebody. There will be sorrow and there will be pain. But let me tell you, there will be rejoicing for those that have placed their trust in Christ. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, it says, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So even all of the pain and the heartache, everything is gone. God is going to make it all fresh and new. Or Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The promise that in all of these things, we will be assured and together with our God and our Saviour. We have resurrection and we have life, and that sorrow will be taken away. And we don't have that sorrow when we know that somebody's already placed their trust in their life. We may have that pain and the grief, but we don't have the sorrow that we've lost them. We know that there is an assurance that they are together with our Lord. And finally, the fourth point I wanted to make, notice I've gone beyond three, gone into four. I'm going into deep territory here. The resurrection, when Jesus declares he is the resurrection and life, he's claiming that eternal reign with Christ will be yours if you believe in him. Eternal reign with Christ will be yours if you believe in him. Jesus took control of that situation. And he says, did not I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you will always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. So in other words, he goes, I'm making sure that you understand that it is God that is doing this. I'm giving thanks to my Father. And when he'd said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Jesus commanded over death. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has commanded that you know, he was able to calm the winds and the waves. He's able to walk on water. He has victory over death. So when Jesus says, stand up and come out, he's declaring he has victory over death, even in this moment before the resurrection of himself. And we know he has ultimate victory over death through his own resurrection. How amazing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of archangels and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And he then, so what a promise. That we're going to have eternal life. We're going to have eternal reign with Christ. Philippians 3, verse 21 says this. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ourselves and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer everything, everywhere. The resurrection leads to death losing its sting. It leads to us having imperishable bodies. It brings us freedom from sorrow, and it gives us eternal reign with our Christ. How wonderful is that? Let me just share with you an illustration that I read, and I think it's really, really apt and important for us just to kind of take on board. I read a story about a young man who became a Christian, and he was telling his friends that he'd become a Christian. And one of his friends goes, why did you do that? Have you ever thought about that? You know, how would you respond when somebody asks, well, why did you become a Christian? And he says, well, suppose you were walking down a road and you come to a fork in the road going two different directions. And there are two people there. One is dead and one is alive. Who are you going to ask for directions? Let that sink in. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So do you believe in this? Do you place your trust in the one who is alive? Do you place your trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Do you place your trust in Jesus, the one who is resurrected and gives us glory and hope? Let's just pray. Oh Lord God, we just pray today that we will have belief. We will have belief in you, Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. We will have faith and trust in you that you have paid the price for our sins. Oh Lord, we give you thanks that you raised Lazarus, that you yourself was raised again. And Lord, may we be a part of your eternal plan. May we place our trust in you for everything in our life. Oh Lord, we just pray this in your holy name. Amen.